That's out of a Bible study scenario. It's one of those Bible studies where they have to keep teaching the gospel lesson over and over and over again. So nobody's growing. People are getting the Holy Ghost, but nobody's getting discipled other than in the gospel message, which is pretty good. If you can get that into them, that's great. But you're learning that lesson pretty well, huh? You call him up and ask him, what's he teaching? And it's always the same thing. What are you teaching tonight? Oh, the gospel. Praise God. Praise God. Sunday, in the midst of holidays and all, such a wonderful presence of God and such a wonderful authority and anointing in the house. And it was wonderful to see a lady filled with the Holy Ghost and a young man baptized in the name of Jesus. But that pulse in the Holy Ghost is significant to me. And it's just the presence of God saying, I'm not ready for a break. I'm not ready to slow down. I'm not ready to withdraw. I'm ready to pour out of my spirit again and afresh and anew. And it's a wonderful harbinger, I think, for the year to come. And I'm still open to the fact that people can get the Holy Ghost here in 2009. They're going to have to hurry. It's almost gone. But I really believe we can still have somebody filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the waning moments of this year. On Wednesday nights, you'll notice we have a lot of our young people, 13-year-old group out for growth class, but also we've been sending out a good group of quizzers every Wednesday night, and they're practicing their quizzing on Wednesday nights, and that's a good thing. Kind of reminds me of my Royal Ambassadors group in the Southern Baptist Church years and years, way back there in the Neanderthal age, except this is much better for them. We're going to continue tonight with Matthew chapter 9 and some things that we talked about Sunday morning. I'm excited about revival with Brother Clark coming up beginning in January. And I don't know if you remember or not, but the year that Brother Marks was here from June or July through December, we had Brother Clark almost every month in the months prior to June. And we had 100 people receive the Holy Ghost between January and June of that year. That's year before last. And I'm feeling that same pulse. Brother Clark has had his hands on some of the most outstanding apostolic revivals in the country in the last 30, 40 years. And we're excited about him coming here. Can you say amen? 2 weeks after, on the 24th, Brother Jonathan Stringfell is going to be with us. And I know I did not take out insurance on him, but every time I call him to come, thus far he's had calamity fall on his household. But we're believing that this time he's going to actually make it, and we'll have a wonderful move of God. Praise God. Matthew chapter 9 and verses 36 through 38. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And in tandem with that, we'll look at Luke 16 and 16 just to say, Jesus said that unto John were the law and the prophets, but now the gospel is preached, and every man presses into it. And he's using the language of the Old Testament and the language of the tabernacle as the high priest pressed through the veil and into the Holy of Holies. And he's saying, that was then, Moses, in the law, but now in the gospel, the law has been fulfilled, but the pressing goes on. It's still something you've got to press into. You don't just arrive at this by accident. And you don't grow in this without personal, active pursuit. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is speaking in the same vein in verse 12. And he says, "The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Everybody say, they take it by force. I want you to know, this will not fall in your lap. Because you were born into this doesn't mean you're going to be able to live this. And because you're here now doesn't mean you're going to survive for the rest of the year to come. But all of that is in your circle, and God has provided you everything that you need. But you've got to press into this gospel experience. God bless you. You can be seated, and why don't you offer up praise and thanks for the word of God that is forever settled in the heavens. Hallelujah, mighty God, we give you praise, we give you thanks. We worship you, O God. We lift you up. We magnify your name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, just in terms of understanding and in terms of a basic paradigm for your approach to God, the things that I've just talked about are things inscrutable to most of American Christianity, because they've been taught that all you have to do is believe in your heart to receive salvation. And then after you've received salvation, that there's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. That's a theological disease that broke out around the Protestant Reformation. But you need to understand that that never was the way that men came to God in the scriptural pattern. But there's always a place for men to come to God, something to press into, something to do, to be engaged in covenant relationship with God. And so the whole idea of pressing into doesn't make a lot of sense to modern Christianity, who believe that all you have to do is just show up. But I've got a word for you tonight, that when it's time to pray, you better press into prayer. And when it's time to worship, you need to press into your worship. And when it's time to stand and be counted, you need to press into a place of commitment. Because let me tell you, everything in this world that is established by man is on its way down. Every institution, every kingdom. The only thing that's going to last through the dark hours of eternity is going to be the kingdom of the living God. Somebody say praise the Lord. I tell you, Paul put it this way. He said they work hard to obtain an earthly crown. Those athletes work and sweat and press in order to win something that won't last for eternity. But friend, you better understand, we're handling something tonight that's more important than a gold or a silver at the Olympics. There are men that dedicate their lives to amassing a fortune in this world, but that's just like a bag with a hole in the bottom of it. You better understand that if men work for profane things with all of their heart, you will not just glide in to the kingdom of God, but this is something you're going to have to apply yourself to. Press. Everybody say press. Now, Sunday morning, we talked about Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. And he came to get healing for his little girl. And the word of God said that he had to, it doesn't use the terminology, but in the context, he has to press his way through the disapproval of the Pharisees and the religious rulers of the day, because they didn't like Jesus already and early on in his ministry. And he was a ruler. He was the administrative head of his synagogue. He had to bull his way through the disapproving frowns of those that were looking for a way to catch Jesus in his words. And they saw this man that they knew coming in this small town situation. And he was coming to get something from this new teacher named Jesus. But he didn't look at them. He didn't regard them. He had something really important that he needed to achieve. This man had proven himself to be a healer. And his little girl lay at the point of death. And he pressed through the peer pressure. And he pressed through the disapproving frowns. Let me tell you something. If you let anybody keep you out of the kingdom of God, you're going to rue that day and sit in a dark place in hell and wonder why on earth. Why did I give up eternity with God for the fragile affection of a man or a woman? Your mama may not approve of it, but you better press into the kingdom. Your daddy may not have approved of it, but you better press into the kingdom. Your boyfriend may not like it, but you better press into the kingdom. Your girlfriend, she may not like a holy boy, but you better press into the kingdom. Well, praise God. Listen, when that trump sounds, nothing else is going to matter. State Department today or yesterday got documentation that Iran is buying considerable quantities of weapons-grade uranium from Kazakhstan. Here we go. Isn't it exciting? Nuclear threat on every side. Trouble on every side. It's the prophecy of the word of God being fulfilled. You better walk around this thing and kick the tires and look under the hood and make sure you got what you need. We're about to go on a trip. You better make sure that you're ready. This thing's about to come to an end. I don't know how many years we have left, but friend, it's not going to be long. He's going to split those eastern skies. There's going to be a trump and the shout of God. If you're building things to last here, if you build here, build to last. If you work here, work well. I want you to achieve every natural temporal dream that you have, but with the understanding that all of this is passing away. And the thing that I want most of all is to press into the kingdom of God. That's why we don't let those other things crowd out our prayer life. That's why we don't let those other things crowd out our church experience. That's why we don't let those other things crowd out our commitment to God and crowd out our devotion to holiness and crowd out our personal time with the Word of God. Because at the end of the day, all of those things are going to go the way of the world. But this kingdom of God is going to go on and on. He's going to establish a kingdom in the earth that will never know an end. Well, praise God. Praise God. Jairus worked for the synagogue, and his employment might have been on the line. But I'll just tell you, if I've got to lose the job, I'll lose the job. Well, praise God. If I were a hireling at this church and the board got together tonight and brought me into a meeting and said, now listen, you're going to have to change some things that you're teaching. You're not going to be able to preach this holiness business anymore. And we think the worship is too outrageous. And we really feel like you're just going to have to get more mainstream here in this church. I would turn my back on this job long before I turn my back on the things of God. But the bad news for you is that I'm the founding pastor of this church and the board can't fire me. You can't fire me. You can't get rid of me. My God. You can leave. You can't have a decent rebellion in this church. What kind of church is this? So, well, praise God. But if you did, I still wouldn't quit preaching the truth. Jairus had to consider his employment because these men had influence around the synagogue. But when he's coming to Jesus, I want you to know this ninth chapter is filled with examples of people that are pressing through. On the way to Jairus' house, we did a treatment on the story of the woman with the issue of blood and how she presses through the crowd. But it wasn't just the crowd. It was 12 years and all of her money and all of the disappointment and the calcifying impact of life when it grinds you down and you wake up every morning hoping, but the hope doesn't find its way to fulfillment that day. And every day it gets harder and harder to lift up the torch of hope in your life. But here comes this woman 12 years later. She spent all her money. She's still not any better. But she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know everything's going to be all right. I'm talking about pressing tonight. I know we dealt with this Sunday morning, but I want to press this a little bit further tonight if we can. You've got to have this kind of mentality. You've got to have this kind of attitude, and it's all going to be about attitude. Because the devil's going to press against you. And the world's going to press against you. And everything you hold dear in the kingdom of God, something's going to come and try to move you off of those positions and out of those long-held devotions to faith. It's going to try to change your house and change your mind and change your family. Somebody's got to have an attitude, though, that says, I'm pressing into the kingdom of God. And like the old song, I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, I shall not. Give somebody a high five and tell them, I shall not be moved. My God, is there anybody in here for a new year that has a commitment to holiness? Is there anybody here for a new year that's saying, my house, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord? Is there anybody in the house that will shout it tonight like David told his wife? Honey, if you don't like my worship, all I've got to tell you is it's going to get worse than this. If you don't like the shouting and the dancing, it's going to be worse in 2010. You apostolic people are peculiar. It's going to get worse. You folks are too loud. It's going to get worse. You're too radical about this. It's going to get worse. So Jairus and this woman are more or less moving in the same direction here toward Jairus' house. She lines up and presses through the crowd. But on the way, after the healing of the woman, the messenger comes and says, don't bother him anymore. Your daughter is dead. And he's got to press through that. Because he's got some hope. The master, the healer's coming. But now the report comes and says, don't bother him anymore. She's dead. And so he presses through that. Jesus said, don't you listen to that. He said, you just believe. You come on now. Praise God. Somebody that's struggling tonight, there's a word in the house for you. God's telling you, God's got a word for you. I want you to know there's a pulse in the Holy Ghost in this house that's saying just like the messenger's impact on Jairus. And he might have staggered a little bit. And Jesus said, no, come on, stay with me. We're going there. I'm coming to your house. Everything's going to be all right. I want you to know everything's going to be all right. God's coming to your house. God's coming to see about you. God's coming to answer your prayer. God's coming to do what he promised in his word. Oh, somebody ought to get a hold of that and just shout all over it for just a minute. I know it's a holiday week, and I know everything's shut down, and I know you got vacation on your mind, but my God, this is a time for pressing. Praise God. When they get to Jairus' house, all the whiners and the mourners and the complainers and the professionals are there, and they're telling them why it can't be. And when the word of God breaks loose in the house and says she's just asleep, they laugh. They're laughing with scorn. I heard the laughter. I said, you can have an apostolic church in the city of Birmingham. I heard the laughter. I said, you can have a multicultural church in the city of Birmingham. I heard the laughter. I said, you can have a holiness loving church in Birmingham. I heard the laughter. Well, praise God. But Jesus just put them all out. The Bible said he put them all out. Everybody say, put all that out. Touch your neighbor and say, put all the dissent out. My God, if they can't see your dream, put them out. If they can't believe what you believe, put them out. It's a day to walk in a miracle. It's a day to walk in the promise. It's a day to lay claim to what God has said. In this story, in this same ninth chapter, they bring a man who is possessed by a devil. And he is, as a result, he's dumb. And he doesn't come on his own. I don't know what other afflictions he has. He doesn't come on his own. But his friends bring him. And they bring him into the presence of Jesus. And he casts out the devil. But these guys, it's not easy to bring a man, a full-size man, into the presence of God. Not even when he's compliant. It's not an easy thing to find the time in your schedule. And to find the, and to find another three that might help you. It's not an easy thing for people to work together to bring somebody into the presence of God. But these men brought this. The Bible says he was a dumb man. But I don't think he was a dumb man. I think he was a dumb man. Into the presence of God. I think the devil that was in him was the dumb devil. And when he cast out the devil, these men began to spread his fame all over the region. And at last, and I don't know how long they've been following, but there were these two blind guys that were following him in the latter part of the chapter. And it's reminiscent of the story of Bartimaeus, but it's not Bartimaeus because he's not in Jericho. And he's, but Bartimaeus may have heard this story because he cries out the same thing. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. These two blind men are following him in the way. Now, I just got to tell you, it's not easy for blind guys to follow him in the way. And if these were American blind guys, they might be afflicted with some of that American mentality that says, well, if he won't come to see me right here, then I'm just not going to go and see what he has. If he's not going to come and see about me. Not these guys. It's amazing to me how people get offended at church and get mad at God. You offend them and they get mad at God. I'm not going to get mad at God. I'll get mad at you. I'm not going to fail God because you're a jerk. We'll work on that. I even got mercy and grace for you. But I gotta, you got to get this straight. You're not going to turn me around from serving God. So they're stumbling along, and I guess they're just using sonar to follow the crowd, the murmuring of the crowd. And then Jesus goes into a house, and they come into the house after him. And I don't know how far this trip was. This could have been for miles. They're following after because he's got something they want. I want you to know tonight, he's got something that you want. He's got something that you need. Somebody say praise the Lord. And they're following. This whole chapter is filled with examples of people pressing after God. And they come into the house and they present their need and he heals them. Somebody say praise the Lord. This whole latter part of the chapter is about pressing into the kingdom. Unto John was the law and the prophets, but now the gospel is preached, and every man presses into it. You get up early, and you go to work, and you work the job, and you have to stay there. Even though there are people you don't like there, you have to stay there, and you have to make it work because it's your livelihood. And you press into all of those things that you need in a secular sense. But my God, if there's ever been anything that you need to press into or have a mentality about pressing into, it needs to be the kingdom of God. Well, praise God. I took one look at this thing and I said, my God, every time the door is open, I'm going to be in that house. Every time it's time to worship, I'm going to be found worshiping. It's been 35 years. I've got to tell you something. I don't regret the choices that I made. I've seen a lot of men and women fall to the wayside. I've seen a lot of young people squander their lives. But those,
you know, in all of these, Jairus, the woman with the issue, the dumb man and the blind men, there were needs all in that crowd. They were all through that scenario as that crowd snaked its way through those little streets and down those country lanes. There were people all around him all throughout the story. But these are the miracles that took place. And they took place because people pressed. But these people were not normal. They weren't average. There was something about them. They're the ones that made the record book of the Word of God. And I'll just tell you, after looking back on 35 years, there's just a handful that I know that are still living and productive in the kingdom of God. Oh, I've seen, we saw 120 somebody get the Holy Ghost this year. In this church, I can't tell you where they all are. I run into people all over this city now that say, I was baptized in that church. I can still feel the Holy Ghost. I can still hear the music. I hear that kind of testimony on a regular basis now. But the question mark over my head in the middle of that discussion is, where are you? What are you doing? How are you living? What have you done in the kingdom? You see, they thought they would come and get baptized and get the Holy Ghost and it would all be over with. Friend, that's the door. That's the way it all begins. But then there's a growing up and there's a discipleship and there's a life to live and there's a ministry to find and there's a commandment, a commission to follow after. Praise God. That revival service where you get the Holy Ghost and you get baptized, that's just the beginning. Randy Hanby, I'm so proud of you. I don't know what you're doing in the dark when I'm not around there, but I am so proud of you coming to this house, living for God. Mama's not here. Daddy's not here. Auntie and uncle, nobody's here. But Randy said, I want to be in this. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of this. I'm just, you know what he's doing? He's pressing through. He's pressing through. The statistics for a young man of his ethnicity and his age. You're not supposed to live very long in the streets of Birmingham. But he found a safe place. He found a place to thrive in the kingdom of God. And he's pressing through. He's pressing through his peer group with the pants hanging down and the drawers hanging out. He's pressing through his peer group with studs in their eyes and studs in their ears and studs in their noses. He's pressing through a peer group that's partying every weekend and drugging it and drinking it and whoring around. That's the culture that he's living in. But he's given a stiff arm to Hollywood and he's given a stiff arm to the Egyptian culture around him. And he's pressing his way. I watched him tonight. He got his own choir robe tonight. He's been having to steal one, borrow one, or beg for one. But we bought a box of new ones, and he got a hand-me-down. And his eyes lit up like they had given him a $100 bill. His eyes lit up like, somebody in the kingdom. You know what he's doing, Liz? He's pressing. He's pressing in. He said, I'd love it if my family was here, but I'm not going to leave just because they're not. I'd love it if I had a big peer group here, but I'm not going to go. If I was the only young person in this church, I'd find a way to win the city, but I wouldn't leave the house of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, let's clap our hands and give him some glory. Let's magnify him. Is there an elder in the house that can say, I've seen a lot of people come and go, but I'm glad I'm in the house of God tonight? my God. And it's, and there's a lot of things in the equation. And I've preached to you that your response is the area wherein you have the greatest power. And this pressing is part of your response. To get up in the morning, regardless of life's condition, and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. Doesn't matter what the devil has to say about it. It doesn't matter what my friends have to say about it. My folks, my family, they may not like it, but I've come to live for God. And he died on a cross for me, and I'm not going to disappoint him. I'm going to show myself faithful to somebody that was faithful to me before I ever was born. Well, praise God. Touch your neighbor and say, we're going to press into the kingdom. Now, at the end of this chapter, Jesus looks on the multitudes and he's moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. These are not the ones that made the highlights in chapter 9. These are just ordinary people that just hadn't caught the vision of the thing, or they're so crushed under their situation they don't think it's for them, or that God can change or alter their destiny. Whatever the reason, all through the multitudes, it was just Jairus that came forth. It was just the little woman with the issue that came forth. It was just those two blind fools that came forth like they didn't have any better sense. It was just the friends that rounded up their friend that was afflicted of the devil, and they brought him to Jesus. And those are the ones that we read about. But here at the end of the chapter, he sees the multitudes, and they're following after him, but they're not pressing in. It's so interesting that in the day that the little woman touches him, His disciples are all around him, but the crowd is so thick. When he stops and says, somebody touched me, Peter and the disciples say, everybody's touching you. They're thronging you. What do you mean somebody touched you? And they don't understand. They don't get it, that somebody touched him in a real and meaningful and spiritual way. There were people hanging around. There were people that were bumping into him. There were hangers on, and there were hopers and all kinds of people in that crowd. But it was only that woman that had the desire to press in that really touched him. And pow, the virtue began to flow out of his body and into her life and into her need. Praise God. Praise God. And he sees them and he says, they're fainting and they don't have a shepherd. And I don't think here that he's talking primarily about someone to have authority over them. A shepherd is a facilitator. A shepherd is a leader. A shepherd gives direction to the water and to the food and to the shelter. And a shepherd has perception that the sheep don't yet have. These that show up in this 9th chapter, they're kind of like you. You've already pressed in. You heard the word and you came. And the whole world's not following after God, but you showed up tonight. And the whole world's got different attitudes about everything, but you've got your eye on this word of God and the promise of the word of God. And you're in the house tonight. And you've received from him. But now he wants to draw your attention to the fact that they're out there. And for some reason, they don't have the personal proactivity that you've had. They're going to have to get it if they're going to survive in the kingdom. But they need a shepherd. The kids in your school need a shepherd. Somebody to say, hey, this way. Come with me. Follow me. I'm going to show you where you can get that heart healed. Come with me. I can show you where you can find joy in your life. Come with, on your job, they need a shepherd. They need somebody that can show them the way and help them find their way into an experience with God. Well, praise God. And I believe that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. He didn't save you to sit and look pretty. It's a good thing. He didn't save you just so that you could drink up the blessings of God. But he saved you because he's got a world that needs somebody to say, this is the way. Come walk in it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. If anybody in the house tonight, if anybody here wants to be used of God in a dynamic way in the year to come, I want you to lift up your hands right now, and I want you to just begin to tell God what your heart's desire is. God, whatever I can do. God, whatever I can be, whatever I can do in the kingdom to be available, to be a blessing, to strengthen somebody. Hallelujah. 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 Ah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You know, two is better than one. And a threefold cord is hard to break. Praise God. Take him by the wrist and draw him this way. He's bringing him in. He's bringing him. And there's obstacles in the way. There's things that, but you've already pressed through them. You know the way. You know what's on the other side. You know that it's worth it. You know that it's a possibility to overcome those things. And so where he might be deterred, and he might be turned aside, and he might lose his vision, and he might lose his hope, you're in a position, having been there before, you can make a way for him. You can press, you can show him how to make his way through the crowd. Two is better than one. There are people in your neighborhood and people in your family and people on your job that would love to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But for some reason, they don't have the charge. They don't have the zeal. They don't have the understanding. They're a multitude and they're feigning because they don't have anybody to shepherd them through all the pressure and minutia and resistance and demonic activity in their world. But you are that person, and God has filled you with the Holy Ghost. Touch yourself and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My God, we can make a hole in anything. Well, praise God. Honey, if you just hold my hand, I'll get you there. I've already done this for myself, and now I know how to do it for you. Mama and daddy, you got to have that attitude about your children. You got to have that attitude. Church family, you've got to have that attitude about these new ones that pray through and about these young people that are on these pews. You don't have to preach with me if you don't want to tonight, but I'm telling you, this church has to have an attitude. Come on with me, honey. We're going to make our way through this. Come on with me, sweetheart. I've been here before. We can make a way. My God, you've got a broken heart. I've had a broken heart. I can show you how to make your way through. You've had some disappointments. I've had some disappointments. Let me show you how to make your way through. You've had a hero crash and burn. Come with me. I've had a hero crash and burn. I can show you how to survive that. And I can tell you that on the other side, your joy will be richer than it's ever been before. You've had a failing in your life. You've fallen on your face morally, spiritually, ethically, personally. You don't know if you'll ever be able to get back up again. You don't know if God will ever forgive you, and you don't know if joy will ever be yours again. Let me tell you something. There are people in this house that can tell you, hey, come with me, follow me. I've already fallen. I fell so far and so hard. I fell so badly. I didn't know I'd ever be able to get up, but tonight I'm standing in joy again. Tonight I'm standing in liberty again. God is a restoring God, but you gotta come with me. We gotta press through these things. As individuals in the house of God and as a church family, we've got to have a mentality. I've been there. We've done this. We can do this for you. You can live for God. You really can. Touch somebody. Touch somebody near you and tell them you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. I know everybody's not here tonight, but I don't care. The word of God goes forth. It never falls to the ground. It never falls void. It always accomplishes the will of God. I'm preaching to people that have yet to darken these doors. I'm preaching to a church house. My God, I'm preaching to a balcony that's not even there yet. I'm preaching to new converts that haven't got the Holy Ghost yet, but they're coming. He sees the multitude and he says they're fainting. And then he says to his disciples, every disciple in the house, say amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that means I'm disciplined. Tell them that means I've got a commitment. I'm not fooling around. I'm really living this. Come on, you need to tell somebody. I'm dead serious about this. Well, praise God. Anybody feel like that? You're a disciple? Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. You know, there's a harvest in the city of Birmingham tonight. And it's white already to harvest. The tassels are there. It's ripe. It's ready. There are men and women in this city right now that would come right now to receive the Holy Ghost and be baptized. They're here. They're ready. He said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Praise God. Praise God. For the year. We're going to stop tonight. Let's stand together. For the year that's coming, my prayer is that for every team and for every ministry, that there would be a rush of living water like a well springing up, like a river of living water. My prayer is that your ministry, if it's productive, that God will prune it, and by spring, it'll be more productive than it's ever been. My prayer is more people this year receiving the Holy Ghost in these altars than we've ever had before. We were just about, the year before, we were just about 200. We surely could have gone down the street somewhere and paid somebody to come in and get the Holy Ghost. Just to touch 200. But this year, we can have more than 200 people receive the Holy Ghost in these altars. The highest point in Dallas, Texas, is the location of an apostolic church. Pastor years and years ago bought that out in the country when there wasn't anything out there at all. And now it sits right on the side of an interstate. And Tom Foster, one of our favorite preachers, is the pastor there. In all of his orange-haired wonder and splendor. They were cranking along I guess it's been 5 years ago now. They were cranking along just about where we are right now. Well, they actually were, they were about maybe 200 on Sunday mornings. Maybe a little more. And in one revival, they saw over 400 people come in and receive the Holy Ghost. Before it was over, on Sunday mornings, they had 700 people in that house. Now, you may think Birmingham is different. And you may think Alabama is different. And you might just believe that, well, whatever happens in other places can't happen here. But if God can find a handful of people that will press, there is no limit to what God can do. I believe that your husbands or wives that are not in the house tonight can come in this year and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Sister Erica, can God fill your husband with the Holy Ghost? Even a person as desperately wicked as Monty Culver can receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Anybody have a family that you'd love to see come live for God? A co-worker that you'd love to see come live for God? Somebody at your school that you know. I went to school with apostolic kids. And I knew they were weird, but that's all I knew about them. I knew they were nice, but that's all I knew about them. And I sat by them in physics and chemistry in all my long hair, wonder and splendor. I had hair. And we would talk and we would, like kids do. But they never asked me to go to church. They never gave me a tract. They never, and I don't know that I would. I'm not indicting them personally. I was too stupid. I probably wouldn't have come, you know. But they'll never know. And I might not have squandered my teenage years. If I just tell you this tonight, if it hadn't been for the mercies of God, I'd have been wrapped up in a burning wreckage of a vehicle on the state highway between my wife's home, childhood home and mine. Because I got drunk every weekend of my teenage years. I'd drop her off and I'd go to the clubs. I looked older than I was. I look older than I am now. And I'd come home bleary-eyed and drunk every Friday and Saturday night of my high school years. And when I didn't have any money, I would just go around to tables and drink other people's drinks. And people figure if you're that crazy, they don't fool with you. But I wasted years. And I was hungry for God. I just didn't know what to fill the void with. He said, there's a multitude of them out there. And they're fainting. They just don't have anybody to help them press in. Praise God. Come on down around the altar tonight. If you don't have anybody that you're focused on, I want you to ask God to lay somebody on your heart, to tell you what to do, to give you a plan of action, to cause you to know where to go and what to do in the opening weeks of 2010. Hallelujah. If you're first, step up on those steps and make room. There's people coming behind you. Anybody want to be a soul winner? Anybody want to make way for somebody to come into the kingdom? Come on, begin to lift that up to God right now. Lay your hand on somebody near you. Just keep praying. Keep pressing into that prayer. God, give us an open door that no man can close. God, help us to find the ones that are hungry, those that are thirsty. God, help us to find their homes. God, give us a door into their families. Hallelujah. Now I want you to pray for that one that's near you there, that God would use them, that God would anoint them, give them the words, give them the way to go, give them an open door, give them a net that's filled with all kinds of fish. God, give them a dynamic witness. Do it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't do it without me. Say, Lord, whatever. Praise God. If you believe God's going to help you now, give Him praise and give Him thanks. Magnify Him. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Well, got an email from Sister Shirley. She's about to attack her whole neighborhood. That's what the devil gets for causing her to be on her back for a month. She lay there making plans about how to wreak havoc in the kingdom of darkness. Praise God. If you've never taught a Bible study, I've got a chart and an outline for you. Say, well, I don't know how. Well, then you got to teach it to learn how. Well, I might mess it up. Well, you can't hurt them. They're going to hell. You can't mess that up. If you don't win them, they're just going to hell and they're still going to hell. But at least you tried. My God, there's tracks in the resource room. There's cards to hand out. You got to give them a card and say, come with me to the house of God. But you got to go fishing. You got to do something. You will, if you get into a lifestyle of not winning people to God, you will calcify right there. You'll work with people on a shift for years and never talk to them about the kingdom of God. Got to change that. Got to walk in and say, you see this needle? If you don't come to church with me, I'm going to stick you with this needle. Sister Molly's a nurse. That's nursing humor. But if you blink and 5 years have gone by, hard to break out of that then and say, oh, by the way, I know something that'll keep you from going to hell. Hard to do that after you settle in. You got to come in a wild-eyed, deranged apostolic. You got to stay a wild-eyed, deranged apostolic. As soon as you meet them, you need to make sure that they know who you are and what this is about. Somebody say praise God. Well, God bless you. Love you. You're going to have a great new year. We're not doing anything around here on for New Year's observance. I figure you got sense enough to observe it on your own. Beginning Monday, we're going to have a 5-day prayer and fasting schedule. The church will be open every evening at 7. It'll be open every morning at 6. Pick your poison. Maybe double dip if you like. But let's have some extra focus on prayer. And I want everybody in the house, Sunday night we'll make a commitment. But I want everybody in the house to be thinking about what you're going to do in the way of fasting for that week. And then the Sunday following, Brother Clark will be here, but that Sunday night we're going to have communion again. And we're just going to inaugurate this year with some prayer and fasting. And God is going to uncork a wonderful year of revival. God bless you. Strengthen and bless somebody before you leave the house tonight.